Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine. Yesterday, I tried to explain all of the Middle East in 1 hour, couldn't do it. So tomorrow, I'm going to explain more of the Middle East and my history of the Middle East, part two. I like to give these history lessons because I like to remember the reasons why we're in the mess we're in. And history reminds us and teaches us lessons so we don't repeat things. But let's face it, talking about the history of the Middle East is a pretty damn sobering topic. It is not a pretty topic. It is full of lots of conflict, lots of detail, lots of really hard news. So I've decided as an intermission, as it were, as a break between really hard truths, I'm going to go for the softest side I can. I'm going to talk about something that I fully admit at the outset I know very little about. I rarely do that. So this is your chance to call in and fill me in and teach me about a certain young man named Josh Dugar. I will confess, or maybe I'm proud of this, so maybe it's not real confession. I will confess or be proud of the fact that I had never heard of Josh Dugar until a week ago. I don't watch reality shows. Remember back in the very early years of reality shows, I think I watched one Big Brother episode, and I did go through a whole season of Survivor 1 year, many, many years ago. But reality shows don't usually hold much, well, reality for me. I've seen a lot of them. I tend to watch the ones where the people got the business and the guy comes in to help them, and it seems like the female business owner is always crying. I always wonder about that. Or the ones where they try to sell their product. You know, the Shark Tank. Yeah, I've seen some of those. But not that many. Because, well, the dirty little secret of reality shows, and if you don't know this, spoiler alert, run away from the radio and hide your head. Okay, all those people are gone. Reality shows are a lot like wrestling. They're not real. Sorry, spoil it. For you. Reality TV has nothing to do with reality. And if you didn't know that, well, you can come back to the radio now. I understand people like the illusion of reality just like they like it in worldwide wrestling. But it doesn't mean the people aren't real. They are human. They're not really actors. But anyone who studied a reality show knows that the producers are in charge. The producers craft the narrative. The producers tell people what to shoot. They shoot 24/7 sometimes, get hundreds of hours of footage, and narrow it down to the 12 minutes or whatever, or 25, 26 minutes, or maybe even 43 minutes you're going to see on TV. And anyone who's worked with text or video knows that if you take small snippets of stuff and you try to build conflict, you can create a narrative of your own. I mean, do you really think the people on Jerry Springer really want to hit each other with chairs? Well, maybe. Maybe given the ones he picks. No, it's not true. But you see, we believe the narrative. We're like, this person from, I don't want to be socioeconomicist about it, but let's just say that some of the people that he dredges up, you think, maybe that person really does want to hit his girlfriend with a chair. But you know what's going on behind the scenes. They're pushing people to do these things. They're revving them up. They're getting them angry. They're holding them back and saying, go fight. And then they go to fight and then, you know, they restrain them. I never really liked these shows. I mean, I've seen them. How could you not? They're ubiquitous. You know, I'm a geek. I tend to watch the People's Court and not even be too big a fan of that. I think one of the reasons we watch reality shows is because it makes us feel superior to others who are in worse shape than we are. I'll never forget the first time somebody introduced me to Honey Boo Boo. I cringed. I mean, it was hard to watch. It was really kind of painful. Now, I don't know, maybe you didn't have that reaction, and I really want you to call in today and let me know your reactions to all these things at 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. I will fully admit at the outset that I haven't seen the vast majority of reality shows, and the few I have seen, I haven't seen the vast majority of them. But I think the whole reality show trend is waning. And I think that the molestation alleged to have been done, well, I think he admitted it, so do I have to say alleged? The stuff that Josh Duggar did, I think this will be remembered. We'll find out in a few years. But I think this will be remembered as the beginning of the end of reality TV. That this was the point where reality TV, quote, jumped the shark, unquote. Do you know what jump the shark means? You know, I got time. We have an hour today talking about ridiculous things like reality TV. I might as well go off into a side note. Many of you know, jump the shark is a term that's used in the Hollywood business. I feel like I'm on Leslie's turf tonight because I'm talking about Hollywood. Jump the shark is used to describe a show that has gone through every manner of possible thing that happens, and then they come up with something so ridiculous that it's a sign that the show is well over. Usually it's a show that's been on for many years, or a genre that's been on for many years, and they just can't think of anything more to say. It's like that soap opera where after having time and time again, the man cheats on his wife, the wife cheats on her husband, they find that it's someone else's baby, they find, you know, all that normal soap stuff. Now they've got aliens from outer space landing because they can't think of anything else to do. That's jumping the shark. But the expression actually comes from an old version of Happy Days. Oh, you remember Happy Days, don't you? The show in the, was it 70s, 80s? I think it was 80s, that talked about the 50s. Maybe it was the 70s. We all know Richie Cunningham and Potsy and the Fonz. Arthur Fonzarelli, the Fonz, Henry Winkler. And, well, the show just went on forever. Long after most of us stopped watching it. And I guess Richie Cunningham went off to college, and Potsy was gone, and Joni and Chachi had their own show. And I don't even know if Mr. and Mrs. Cunningham, Mr. C, remember them? I don't even know if they were still on the show. Who knows? I had long since stopped watching. And the only guy left on the show was the Fonz, who started as a minor character and became major character. In any case, they could not think of anything left to do. They kept bringing in new characters, and I guess the show was still popular enough to stay on air. So finally, at one point, they had the mystical, magical Arthur Fonzarelli in his leather jacket on water skis jumping over a shark. And that was when Happy Days jumped the shark. And that's where the expression came from. Most of you probably know this. I just think it's a little fun piece of Americana. So Happy Days jumped the shark. It was clearly a sign the show had gone on way too long and had to end. I think that reality TV has jumped the shark. Mark Grimaldi informs me, Happy Days, he looked it up, was from 74 to 84. I said 70s and 80s. Okay, 10 years. It went on at least 5 years too long. Now let's go back to reality TV. So Josh Duggar. And let's face it, we liberals are having a lot of schadenfreude at Josh Duggar. Schadenfreude is that wonderful German word that says, and perhaps only the way Germans can, it's pleasure at another person's pain. Schadenfreude. Freude is joy. Schaden is pain. It's pleasure at another person's pain. Sadism, as if you wish. Though sadist is often doing the stuff. Really, it's just enjoying watching someone else be miserable. Well, let's face it. We liberals are having a lot of schadenfreude at Josh Duggar. Because Josh Duggar was a spokesman for family values. For the Family Research Council. He would go on day and in and day out and talk about how gay couples couldn't have loving, happy families. And then, well, look at him and what he did. So we're enjoying this, and I'll tell you what, I want to get back to why we're enjoying this and what this all means for reality TV, but first let's go to a caller, 888-48-MARK, if you want to join in, 888-48-6275, Kevin in Santa Fe, line 5, how are you, Kevin?
Hey, Mark, I think people want to escape reality. just like we go to movies for the momentary suspension of disbelief. The reality that the planet's warming up, we have no political power, that it's all in the hands of billionaires, that we can't stop wars, no matter that we had more protesters before Iraq and Vietnam and it got no press. Just endless, endless problems, and it's, people get overwhelmed and they just want to escape.
Okay, I get that, but why not escape to fiction? Well, we got fiction. We got. You know, we can watch. I used to like the Mindy Project before it was canceled. We all have our own favorite shows. Why is it that we want the illusion of reality when these really are sort of? By the way, there's a little bit of noise in the background, Kevin. I don't know if you can, if you're on speakerphone or something, but maybe if you can stop that noise. Yeah, just for listeners on the radio. So my question for you, Kevin, though, is why the illusion of reality? Why is it so important for us to believe that these people are actually real when anyone who studied this stuff knows that the producers are basically creating the narrative?
Well, because our own lives are so desperate. Money problems, problems with school, problems with your college debt. You want to see somebody who's doing better or worse so that you can have that, what did you call it, Schadenfreude?
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. I think that's why Honey Boo Boo was so popular. I think everyone in America felt they were superior to Honey Boo Boo. No matter how bad you were, no matter how awful your life was, no matter how hard it was to make a living or deal with your family or have any social graces or standing or friends or anything, no matter how bad your life was, you could always look down on Honey Boo Boo. And I don't – did you ever – what shows did you watch, Kevin?
None of the above. I never even got why they were voting people off of islands.
You know
You're
what?
Swimming now.
The dirty little secret about reality shows is that the people who watch them, and they're clearly very popular, that's why they're on TV, they usually don't admit they watch them. The first rule of reality shows, don't talk about reality shows because I think maybe there's a certain condescension for those that actually watch it. Maybe not. Maybe not. We'll get some other callers in. We'll find out what they think. Thank you for your call, Kevin. I appreciate it. So do you watch a reality show? Am I being elitist? Call me out. Am I being elitist for talking down people who watch reality shows? If so, why do you watch them? What do you enjoy most about them? And what do you think about the fall of Josh Dugar? This is Mark Levine. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
TLC says it has pulled the reality series 19 Kids and Counting from its schedule, a move that follows reports of sexual misconduct allegations against Josh Dugar from when he was a juvenile. Dugar issued an apology on Facebook for unspecified bad behavior, stating he would do anything to go back to those teen years and take different actions. The 27-year-old has resigned his role as executive director for FRC Action, a prominent conservative Christian group. Dugar is the oldest of Jim Bob and Michelle Dugar's 19 children. Julie Walker, Associated Press.
So that's the story. Josh Dugar, and apparently that's how you pronounce his name. I apologize for the mispronunciation, but I guess that's just further evidence that I've never watched this show, nor ever heard of the guy until, well, last week when this happened. But there's two elements to this story. One is the fun one, the ridiculous one, the why does anyone watch reality shows, the silliness of it, mocking people also is a national pastime. And if you're a big reality show watcher, I half apologize, although I would like you to call in and let me know why you watch it. So please don't be afraid to. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. But there is a serious side, obviously, to this story. And the serious side is that, first of all, the allegations are serious. I mean, he molested a number of young girls, including, apparently, it sounds like, some in his family. again, I say allegedly, I wasn't there, but he's kind of admitted it. At least he's admitted he's extremely sorry about something, if not specifying what it was. And the thing that liberals are enjoying, the thing that we have Schadenfreude about, is that he is part of the same religious intolerance, the extremist radical right intolerance, that is indeed harming our families. That's harming gay families, lesbian families, that's harming transgender families, also harming families of single parents, families where parents want to use in vitro fertilization, or perhaps where people want to use implantation, whatever. They are presuming to decide which families are better and which families aren't better. I mean, after all, isn't that what the Family Research Council is all about, Tony Perkins' evangelical Christian organization? It's all about not preaching to do good or to be whatever, which is fine. I'm all about religious organizations preaching to their own kind. Are people joining or leaving religious organizations? That's voluntary. But the heart of what religious conservative Christians want is, well, at a lesser level, what ISIS wants: to force people who don't share their religion to conform to the dictates of their religion. Now, they're not killing anyone, all right? So don't say I claim that. I said to a lesser extent. We're talking about ISIS, you know, yesterday and tomorrow. So obviously they're a lot worse. But the general idea that you shouldn't impose your faith on someone else, to me, it doesn't matter whether the people doing the imposition are Christian or Muslim or Jewish or Buddhist or Hindu or atheist. Religion and religious beliefs are not to be imposed. They can be persuasive. Religions are always trying to persuade you to join them. They cannot be forcible conversions. So, yeah, we liberals are enjoying the fact that someone who is a spokesperson for all the values that we hate, for the values of intolerance, and claiming that intolerance is a family value, that he was caught doing something so horrific, so not a part of family values, that, well, he obviously had to resign. And I don't know. I guess he's not going to jail. Someone could help me figure out why he's not going to jail. In any case, when I come back, I want to talk about how faith communities, how radical right communities deal with the very difficult question of sexual abuse, of molestation. I want to talk about the seriousness behind all of this. Because obviously it's not just the Catholic Church and renegade priests who molested little children. And that's a real problem, obviously. It's any time you've got religious figures using their power and influence over people. There's a rabbi in Maryland that set up a camera to film women entering the Jewish bath, the mikveh. And in this case, we've got Josh Duggar saying that gay people shouldn't get married while he was out molesting his sisters, allegedly. This hypocrisy harms all of us. And I'll talk about why when I get back. If you want to call in and join us, it's 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275.
The Duggars from the reality TV show 19 Kids and Counting are used to the spotlight, but now it's for all the wrong reasons. Josh Duggar, the oldest son of Jim, Bob, and Michelle, has apologized after reports he molested underage girls when he was a teenager.
You know, growing up as the oldest of 19 kids and counting.
He also quit his job at the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C., Christian lobbying group. The 27-year-old did not directly address the allegations reported by In Touch magazine, but he did issue a statement on his family's official Facebook page saying, quote, 12 years ago as a young teenager, I acted inexcusably, for which I am extremely sorry and deeply regret. In Touch reported charges were never filed against Josh Duggar. His wife Anna said her husband shared his past teenage mistakes with her before they married 6 years ago. The couple has three children and are expecting a fourth.
That's the report on apparently Josh Duggar. Now, okay, so I started with Duggar, and I've had Duggar and Duggar, thus proving that I, like other reporters, have never actually seen the show. None of us seem to watch it, but somebody does. It was a very popular show, and I wonder whether its popularity had something to do with the fact not only that there were 19 kids, all right, enjoy the circus, let's watch the people with 19 kids, but also that they were conservative, evangelical Christians, people who spoke out against those pesky gay and lesbian couples that want to get married, spoke for family values, for the Family Research Council. You know, you see pictures of the guy, and there's and he's standing before a microphone, and I'm looking at it right now in the clip. Got to move it here. The podium shows him the family, strengthening the family. There it is, strengthening the family. Strengthening the family by molesting his sisters? Give me a break. Let me find out what you think. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Andrew in Minnesota, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up,
Mark? Are you someone who watches? Are you going to admit to this? You might not want to admit to it on air. Are you someone who watches the Duggar family?
I've watched like one or two episodes, but no, I'm not really into it.
Okay. It's all right if you are. This is a place of full healing and confession here, so that's fine. tell me what your thoughts are, and then we'll get into reality TV and stuff like that.
I think the whole thing, I like that they're all evangelical Christians, that they're all proclaiming the word of God and stuff, but I think what it comes down to is that we're all human and that we make mistakes.
So you're willing to forgive Josh Duggar?
I'm the Andrew from Bismarck, North Dakota.
Oh, okay. All right. I said Minnesota here, so I wasn't sure. So I know who you are, Andrew. I met a number of North Dakotans. In fact, some of you have heard my radio clips from that. Andrew, I mean, you're ready to forgive him? I mean, he not only, that's enough, molested several young girls, apparently, that's what the allegations are, but he went before the public and attacked other people's families is not good enough. And you're still ready to forgive him?
As Jesus says, thou who without sin shall cast the first stone. So we all make mistakes. And I guess before I mean, I could say that, yeah, molesting kids is a bad thing, obviously. And we all do pretty bad things in our lives. But I think if he owns up to it and faces the penalties that come with molesting kids and, you know, if he takes responsibility, then I guess I'm okay with forgiving him if he becomes the better man, but he shouldn't be a hypocrite.
I wonder if he's becoming a better man. I can't read his heart, but I do know that, he knew what he did, and while he knew what he did, he was going out before the public and talking about the superiority of his family over other people's families, knowing what he did, having apparently already told his parents what he did, they still went on national TV and proclaimed their family value superiority over others, and no doubt would have continued to do so if In Touch magazine hadn't exposed him for what he is. I'm not so forgiving, at least not right away. He's not being prosecuted, by the way. I mean, it's not like he's serving time or anything. Apparently, I don't know why that is. But I don't know. I'm not so forgiving. Not yet.
Well, I go around proclaiming, you know, how to be a good person and stuff. And, you know, I'm sometimes not really nice to some people because I'm, you know, I sometimes make fun of that person, or, you know.
Okay, but Andrew, yes, sometimes I do it too. Sometimes we can be rude. Sometimes we can be not nice. There are always we can be better people. But please, Andrew, when you say that, aren't you conflating a very real, serious crime, sexual abuse, sexual assault. We don't know the details of it. The time's passed. Apparently, I'm finding out they didn't prosecute because the time has passed. The statute of limitations has passed. But when you say, you know, you're often not as nice to people as you could be, I'm sure that's true. I'm sure that's true of me. You know, I have all kinds of faults. Aren't we in some ways minimizing the real crime to victims who sometimes can take decades to recover?
I think sexual molestation is a huge deal. I guess it could leave a scar mentally and physically.
Sure.
I was abused as a child physically by my father, so I mean I was mentally scarred by physical abuse. But I think.
Do you think you're forgiving Josh Duggar because you've forgiven your own father?
Yeah.
Sounds like mm-hmm. it to me. I mean, yeah, I understand mean, why you'd want to forgive your own father. That makes sense to me.
Yeah. I'm just the type of guy who doesn't like to hold grudges. You know, since my beliefs go with the teachings of Jesus Christ, you know, I've kind of like to emulate Jesus as much as possible. I am not Jesus, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, look, Andrew, I'm not going to presume to tell you what to do with your own dad. First of all, I want to thank you for sharing that very difficult thing. Part of it is to remind all of us that these things are far more common than we wish to believe. I'll share my own, since you've shared a very personal story of yourself, Andrew. I'll share my own, that my sister was murdered by her husband almost 20 years ago. And and again, I'm from a family that I never believed this kind of thing could happen in my family either. So I appreciate your sharing that. When these things happen, we want to forgive those we love. And I get that. In some ways, it's more healing for us. But sometimes I worry that at least too quick a forgiveness, and I'm not saying you were quick to forgive your father, but too quick a forgiveness by society for someone like Josh Duggar in some ways lessens the severity of the crime. I mean, what he did was severe, and it should be acknowledged. I'd like him to be punished, I guess, before we move on to forgiveness. But maybe I'm just harsh on you.
I want him to be punished, too. But I'm just saying we shouldn't hate him for the rest of his life. Or, you know, I think that he should be prosecuted because what he did was wrong. But I don't think the media or everyone should be attacking him as much as they are or as hard as they are, because we all do pretty crappy things in life.
Okay, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. Like I said, I don't think I'm as forgiving as you are. Part of my concern is that forgiveness can hide the nature of the crime. There's actually an interesting article, an op-ed in the Washington Post by a woman by the name of Mary DeMuth, D-E-M-U-T-H, that I'd ask you, Andrew, and others listening to look up, where she talks about her abuse, how she was sexually abused, and how hard it was for her to put it behind her, and her concerns that forgiveness can come too quickly. That, you know, so Jesus talked about forgiveness, but I think forgiveness demands at first that the perpetrator be truly sorry, be truly regretful for what they've done, be truly, and I guess I don't believe him. I don't think if he'd never been caught, he would have asked for forgiveness. Remember, the crimes occurred more than 10 years ago, and he's going on national TV proclaiming his family values 10 years later. Does that sound like a guy who's truly repented of what he did? If he hadn't been caught, would we even know this? See, I don't think
probably
so.
Probably not.
Yeah.
We wouldn't know about it.
So I'm a little harsher on him than you are. I appreciate your charity toward him, but I'm going to continue to be kind of hard on him. And I want to thank you, though, Andrew, for sharing your personal story and for calling in.
Well,
I appreciate
that. I'm okay with it. We all have a right to believe what we want because we do live in America, after all.
Absolutely, and that's part of what talk radio is all about.
Oh, yeah.
So thanks for your call, Andrew. I appreciate it.
All right. Talk to you later.
Take care. Actually, I don't know that Andrew was one of my people I talked to in North Dakota, so I don't want to say he was. There was a different Andrew, I think, from the one I talked to. Let's go to the next caller. This is Terrell in Columbus, Ohio, on line one. Hey, Terrell.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, my thought is just a guy. I'm throwing a book at him. I don't want to hear it. With the Christian side hugs, and I am so much morally superior than other people, that being part of a Christian terrorist organization like the Family Research Council that only care about gay people and nothing else outside of what Christianity is about. No, screw this guy. If we wouldn't have found out, he would have acted sanctimonious as he was the day before we found out.
I agree with you, Terrell. I'm entirely on your side on this one. Thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Let me go to Steve from Illinois on line two. Hey, Steve, how are you?
Hey, great, Mark. Thank you. I'll tell you right now, as a Christian, I'm angry. But I'm angry at Josh Duggar, and I'm angry at his family. Because, number one...
And your dog's angry, too, by the way.
Yeah, he's angry, but he's angry for the wrong reason. He's angry because he got caught.
Sorry, go ahead. No, I didn't say Josh is angry. I said your dog is angry because he's barking so much.
I'm taking a walk right now.
It's all right.
While I'm talking to you here. But, it irritates me because not only, he's going to get away with this.
Well, he's gotten away with it. The statute of limitations has passed. He's free and clear.
Right. And that is thanks to his daddy, Jim Bob, who, I don't know if you've ever watched the show. I've watched little bits and pieces of it here and there. But he tries to play himself off like this good old boy country yokel. But what a lot of people don't remember or may not know is that he is, in fact, a former state legislator.
Oh, really?
As well as having been a Senate candidate. This guy knows politics.
I didn't know that.
Law.
Huh.
Yeah. He's a sharper tool in the drawer than he lets on camera.
Gotcha.
And that. So
you're
that's
also,
why.
You're also of the throw the book at him kind of. Look, we can't throw the criminal book at him, unfortunately. He's passed statute of limitations. But we could certainly throw our social book at him. We can throw I'm glad they canceled the show. And I'm not so quick to forgive. I'll tell you, I respect Andrew, who called in and shared his own personal story. I can understand why a guy like Andrew would want to forgive his own father. I'm not judging Andrew for that. But but I'll tell you, I don't have any sympathy for Josh Duggar. None. Zilch. Sorry. None.
Me either. And what kills me is in the stuff that I've seen, like on TLC's page on Facebook and that, the people who are defending him the most, and this is why I really have such an issue with this, are women. It's like, hello, he molested his sisters. What?
I know.
What's wrong with you that you will defend this guy? Thank God for Oprah finding that letter and looking at it and passing it on, because if she hadn't done that, we wouldn't know it to this day, honestly.
Yeah, no, look, I mean, that's the whole point. That's why I don't believe that any of this seeking forgiveness is real. Now, if he went for 10 years in rehab or 5 years maybe and... I don't know, and worked.
Yeah,
it worked to help children, and worked in soup kitchens. Yeah, worked
working on houses.
Yeah, work in soup kitchens, building houses. For Habitats for Humanity. Worked in for homeless shelters, and did it all as penance. And then after 2 years of that, said, I did this because whatever. That's one thing. But I don't believe in quick forgiveness for someone who just commits a crime, waits 10 years, gets caught, and then immediately seeks forgiveness. I'm sorry. All we have is moral indignation. We can't put him in jail. So I'm not going to give him forgiveness.
Which I'm pushing now. I've been telling people that we need to create something. Contact your state legislators. And let's create something called Duggar's Law, which will permanently remove the statute of limitations on crimes such as this.
Because, I tell you, it should at least be removed until the victim is of legal age. because you can't expect a five-year-old or whatever. I don't know the ages of these kids. 8, 9, 10. You can't expect them to have the wherewithal and the presence of mind and the understanding to speak out. At the very least, it should extend, I don't know, 10 years and, after they're 18, something like that, at least.
And especially, Mark, here's another thing, too, and this has to deal with the whole Quiverful cult, and that's realistically what it is. I mean, I'm old enough that I date back to the Moonies and the Krishnas, so
yeah.
I understand what a cult is, and Quiverful is, in fact, a cult. But these poor girls, when they went in and were talked to, when they were asked where they were touched, because of the way the Quiverful cult teaches them and brings them down to a almost worthless level, all they can say is, my private area. They weren't allowed to, because of their cult training, be specific where
yeah.
exactly he touched them.
I know.
That angers me even more.
I hear you. Thanks for your call, Steve. Keep up
your
anger, and I'm glad your dog has resolved his issue as well. Folks, if you want to call in, it's 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. I'm not ready to forgive Mr. Josh Duggar. What do you think? We'll be right back after this.
Got a conservative who casually misquotes the Bible and the Constitution? Send him to school with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, taking a break a little bit between my two very detailed histories of the Middle East and talking about Josh Duggar. The guy, I don't even know whether it's Duggar or Duggar or whatever he is, a guy I never had heard of until a week ago when he was caught having molested. Apparently, he's molested many young women. It's alleged that he has child pornography. And this guy was telling everyone else how to live their own lives. His parents did not report the crime until I guess it was just a little bit too late to prosecute him. All right, I guess I understand parents doing that. But the church elders, they did it too. In fact, they sent him to some kind of counseling. They didn't do much as well. All we have left is our moral indignation, and I'm full of it. I'm full of moral indignation as it is. I'm not just full of it. I want to know what you think. 888-488-MARK. Morel from Georgia has been holding a while. Hey, Morel, how are you?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What are your thoughts on Mr. Duggar? Or Duggar, whatever he is.
I'm not ready to forgive him like a lot of the other callers. You know, as a Christian myself, you know, I'm all for, you know, redeeming yourself, but you have to do your penance. You know, you have to go through that, whatever that may be. You have to go through that. You can't just run out the clock and, you know, and then come out and say you did something wrong, and then all of a sudden now you don't actually have to do any penance. You just get to say you did it. You did something wrong. So, with what this particular crime is, this is actually something that's actually quite horrible.
Yeah, it is.
It's not just with the Duggars. It's religion gets a cover a lot of times. You know, you have, you know, with me being here in Georgia, you know, you have Bishop Eddie Long here who had an issue with some young kids in his church, accusing him of sexually abusing them. You know, you got the Roman Catholic Church that moved priests around to avoid the statutory time limits that were needed, so that when it came time to sort of prosecute them, you couldn't do anything to the priest because the time limit had ran
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I hear you, Morel.
You know,
our time's up, but I agree with you. It is a horrific thing. It often leaves decades for victims to heal, and religion should never be a pass for this kind of criminality, particularly not when he's trying to tell other people's families what to do. This is Mark Levine. Thank you, everyone, for your calls. We're going to go back to the Middle East tomorrow.